I've entitled this series last week and this morning, and tonight's message series, Christmas Comfort, because the word about Christmas that I pulled forward from Isaiah chapter 40 was God saying, comfort my people. Comfort my people. And then a word about John the Baptist brought forward to the New Testament, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. So there's comfort coming. And when the Lord came as a baby, he came to bring comfort. And boy, we could all use that. We mentioned last week that he came as the King to bring everlasting peace, peace on earth. He came to be the King, and we said that if he is the King, then what does a king do? He rules. And if he came to be the king, then he came to rule in your life. And this morning I want to look at the very same verse from John chapter 18. Because not only was Jesus the king, he was the prophet. So you open your Bible to John 18 and let me show you one other feature of the comfort of Jesus to come to us this Christmas to bring Christmas comfort. He is the King who brings peace. He is the prophet who brings truth. He is the prophet who brings all truth to us. So, in John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus is speaking to Pilate, and again, I remind you that this is the end of his life, not the beginning of his life, where he says these words, for this I was born, for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. So we're going to the end of Christ's life, and it's a purpose statement about the reason he came. I came to bear witness to the truth. Now, you need truth. We're going to talk about truth a bit this morning. But let me illustrate. This has been an unusual season the last 3 months for my house. I think my house is infected with some kind of demon. All of my appliances are going down. I have a refrigerator, an old second refrigerator in the basement, and it suddenly started becoming a freezer, and it froze everything inside it, and I couldn't turn it down, and I kept breaking these glass bottles of milk, and Diet Cokes were exploding in there and kept making a tremendous mess. I have a gas fireplace and it won't stay lit, and I tried to engineer how to fix the refrigerator. I tried to seal it up and close it down, and still freezing everything. My gas fireplace I took apart twice, and I cannot get that thing to stay lighted or lit. And I have a CD player, and it won't play Christmas music, and my wife is upset about that because I can't get these things going. But worst of all, last week, my garage door opener broke. Now, there's a story about it. The story is, We've learned the car has to be all the way into the garage before you close it. And if it's out just about that much, it's not good for the garage door opener. Someone I love left the car out of the garage about 3 extra inches. And someone she loves closed the door without looking. We're still very much in love, but we are in dispute about the cause of the incident. Anyway, when the door came down, the garage door exploded into several pieces. Most of it was still up on the thing, and I looked at it and I thought, I won't tell you exactly what I thought at first, but I thought, you know, I can't have another appliance go down here. So I said, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg to have somebody come over here this time of year and fix this garage door. And I looked at it and I said, I'm going to try to do this myself. So I went to Sears. I looked it over. I went to Sears, and I bought a replacement for it, and I brought it home, and I opened up a chair and put on some lights in the garage, and I sat down with the manual, and I started reading the manual, which was a good idea. And I read that thing through, and it's a funny thing that the first 25 pages of the manual is in English, and the last 25 is in Spanish. No, I'm just kidding. It's bad. Anyway, I read this manual from beginning to end, and a miracle happened at my house. I only made one trip to Sears, and in 4 hours, I replaced that thing. Thank you very much. Now, those of you who are clapping, you're members of Calvary, and you've been here a long time. You know, I'm an idiot at these kind of things. And I it was a modern miracle that I put that thing back together, and it opened up, and it's working better than ever. But part of it is I thought to myself, I have got to get somebody in here who knows what they're doing, because I don't. But what I did is I got the manual out, and in 5 short hours, I put that thing back together, and it's working. Do you know when Jesus said, I am coming as a light, as a prophet, he was describing himself as coming to bear witness to what was true, what was real, what was reality. And when we read this text this morning from John chapter 18, we hear Jesus saying to us, I came into the world for this reason. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says to us, this is the reason I came into the world, don't you think we ought to pay attention? I think if Jesus said, this is why I came, we ought to tune in and say, well, what is that reason that you came? Well, I wanted an expert to fix my garage. And I made careful search and inquiry into the manual, and I was able to do it on a far greater scale. You need the expert to tell us what is true, what is real, what is life, and you've got to go to the source. And fortunately, there's a manual that he left behind to say, here's where you can find out about this truth. And I want to say to you that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth because he is the prophet that God promised from long ago who would come and bear witness to the truth of God. The truth that you need to know about God. The truth that you need to know about your life. The truth that you need to know about death and the afterlife. And everything else in between, Jesus came to bear witness of. Now the word prophet or prophecy is connected to the Hebrew word ra'ah, which means to see or to perceive or to understand. Hence the idea came that when someone declared himself a prophet, he was sometimes called a seer because he could see what others could not into the past or the present or the future. And so these seers or prophets spoke God's words. God promised in the Old Testament that he would send a prophet in the likeness of Moses, a prophet in whose mouth he would put his words. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God promised in the Old Testament that he would send a prophet who would be like Moses. Like, only better. Now, it's interesting that the Old Testament promises a prophet to come. When you go to the New Testament, then, in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 7, you hear the New Testament apostles and preachers, namely Peter and then Stephen, reaching back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 in reference to Christ and declaring these words. Moses said, this comes from Peter. Peter's preaching a sermon in the book of Acts. And Peter reaches back to Deuteronomy and says, Moses said, the Lord God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed in everything he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Well, is Peter reaching back to the word of Moses that God was going to raise up a prophet like Moses And now Peter says, and Stephen says the same thing in chapter 7, this is the prophet that God promised was coming. You better listen to him. The prophet. The one who could see and understand and declare all that there is to know about God, life, the afterlife, everything. To declare all truth. When this happened in the Old Testament, the people asked God, well, how will we know who the right prophet is? How will we know when we hear a prophet? And you may say in your heart, how will we know that this really is the word of the Lord? And God said, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, this is a thing which the Lord hasn't spoken. So what's the criteria of a prophet? He says this is going to happen. It better happen, or else the prophet's false. So you look at the life in Jesus, and he says, I came to bear witness to the truth. And can you trust what Jesus has said? I'd say all the prophecies of the Old Testament have their subject as their highest subject, Christ. And Christ is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the final prophet. So you got your finger here in John. Just turn back to chapter 1 for a moment and verse 19. John 1, 19. And notice, here's John the Baptist. And he's declaring a message. And as he declares this message in verse 19, the Jews sent Levites to Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, and he said, I am not the Christ. He said, who are you then? Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? He said, no. Why would they say, are you the prophet? Because all the Jews in Jesus' day knew that there was going to be a prophet who was going to come and declare all truth. This was promised by God, and they were anticipating that this would happen. After feeding the 5,000 in chapter 6 and verse 13, just look at that for a moment. Chapter 6 and verse 13, Pastor Rick preached on this a couple weeks ago. After the feeding of the 5,000, verse 14, when the people saw this sign which Jesus performed, they said, this is truly, what? The prophet. This is the one that God promised who is going to come into the world. This is the prophet who has come into the world. And so in our text this morning, when Jesus is standing before Pilate, he says to Pilate, I was born for this reason, that I might bear witness to the truth. And all who hear the truth, all who are of the truth, hear my voice. Let me make a couple points with you this morning. One more verse for you. It's a great Christmas verse. We'll go to the beginning of John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read that together, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and, see it? Full of grace, full of truth. Full of grace, full of truth. Now, I will admit that in today's day and age, it's very difficult to say there is truth. Right? There's a great move against any concept of absolute truth. It seems that some want to say the only absolute there is there's absolutely nothing that's really true. Which is, of course, a contradiction. I would like you to take away this morning this basic premise, there is truth. There are some things that are absolutely true. And Jesus declared it, that I came to be a witness to the truth. Second, I'd say that you can know the truth. You can know it. And it can set you free. You can know the truth, and the truth can set you free. There is truth, and it's knowable. And Jesus is the key expert in order to bring it to us. He is, if you will, the expert witness that there is truth and that you can know it. And his life came to bring witness to it. You'll notice in the John 18 passage, verse 37, Pilate said, "You're a king." He said, "You said correctly, I am a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, that I would bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate answered him and said what? What did Pilate say to him? What is truth? What is truth? Probably asking a question, what can be certainly known? What can absolutely be known? What can be known that's completely true? It's either unknowable, or it's all relative, or it may be true for you, but not true for me. What is truth? That's the question that many are asking today, and I'd say Jesus came to be a witness that there really is something that's true, and that you can know it. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let me make 3 points about this fullness of truth. Number one, that Jesus bears witness of the truth by His words. The words that He speak bear witness to the truth. What He said about Himself, what He said about the Father, all that He declared came true. If you study the Gospel of John, you will see that He said over and over again, "I must go up to Jerusalem. Now I'm going to get ready to go to Jerusalem, and I will be betrayed into the hands of evil men. And I, the Son of Man, will be crucified, and on the third day He will rise again." Speaking prophetically of what was to come, He kept saying, "This is what's going to happen." The words that He spoke bore witness to the fact that He is full of grace and full of truth. Now, turn to chapter 8 for a moment. John chapter 8, let me show you some of the words that He spoke that were qualifiers for Him to be able to say, "I'm full of truth." At least by His own explanation of who He said He is. John chapter 8 and verse 56, Jesus, talking to a gathering of Jewish leaders, said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." They said, wait, you are not 50 years old. You've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Yeah, He was speaking a word to them about his life, His existence, and describing Himself as always being in existence before Abraham. He was linking Himself to this great declaration about God, which God gave to Moses. Moses said, "Who shall I say is going to send me to Pharaoh?" And God said, "Tell them I am sent you." Now Jesus describes Himself in the same way. His words were, "I am, I am." Now, did they know what He was saying? They were absolutely certain that Jesus was declaring Himself to be the Son of God, equal with God, Yahweh. How do you know that? Verse 59. They picked up stones and wanted to kill Him. They wanted to put Him to death because they were absolutely certain that He was equating Himself one with Yahweh, God. And the words that Jesus spoke about Himself bear witness that He is who He says He is. Full of grace, full of truth. Second, His life and all that He did bear witness to the fact that He is the truth. Bear witness to the truth. All that He did, all that He embodied, all that He was, He embodied the truth. So some of you know from memory John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus declared about himself. Can you say it with me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. The declaration of God, Jesus, the Son of God, I am the truth. I embody the truth. God with us. God who knows all. He is a seer. He understands and perceives everything. I am the truth. Here's a great verse for you that comes from Paul's book to the Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 3. Very simple verse. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the embodiment of truth. He is the fulfillment of the revelation of God, all that God is, all that is real, all that is noble. I am the truth. His life bears witness to it. What else bears witness to it? His death bears witness to the truth. His death bears witness to the reality that he is the truth. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Now that Jesus is the final prophet, the last prophet, the ultimate prophet to declare what is true, is declared again later in your Bible in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, we're going to look at. And just have that in your mind that he came to bear witness to the truth by his death. But first, let's read this verse together. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. In these last days, God spoke, after speaking through many prophets, spoke in the ultimate revelation of his Son. The final word of God to us in the Son, Jesus Christ. God spoke. The Word became flesh. The expression of God came to us. For this I've been born, to bear witness to the truth of God. God sent truth to the world in his Son. Now verse 3. A description of Jesus. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And read the last sentence together. When he had made purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the signal. This is the statement that indicates that what he did on the cross was to bear witness to the truth that sins needed to be atoned. And when he made purifications for sins, the Son of God, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, at God's right hand, because the work of Calvary, the work of Christ dying, was the way Jesus bore witness to the truth that sins had to be atoned. The truth that we had to be forgiven. And so Christ did that. His death bore witness to the truth. Now he's the expert witness. I was born to declare the truth. Now you have options this morning. You have options about what you will think and what you will say regarding this truth. You may say, what is truth? Well, is it knowable? You may say, that may be truth for you, Tom. But Jesus is saying, I came to bear witness to the truth. And you'll have to decide. The ultimate expression of God was Christ coming into the world to say, the fullness of God's truth has come. Now I know that in this congregation, there'll be all levels of commitment to this truth. And if you are not quite there yet, where you could say in your heart, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who was born of the Virgin Mary and came into the world, and I believe that He is the Son of God and that He died for me. If you're not quite there yet, I have a proposal for you. My proposal is that you get out the manual and that you set your mind in the coming year to read through 4 accounts of the life and teaching of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you give yourself to make careful search and inquiry to see if these things be so. And I guarantee you that if you'll give yourself to this manual of searching for this truth, God will reveal Himself to you. And if you say, Lord, if you really are the Son of God, I want to know you, I guarantee you, He will come and reveal Himself in the fullness of truth. Christmas is a confusing time. Christmas can be a cynical time. God came to bring comfort, to alleviate cynicism, confusion. But you got to know where to look. Did you see the article in the paper yesterday about a vision in Las Vegas? I'm stunned at what draws people's attention. The Virgin Mary appeared as an apparition on a retaining wall on the home of Freddie Montero. He's got a garage, and he was sure, and others were too, that they saw a vision in the wall of the Virgin Mary. As soon as you walk up to it, you can feel her presence, visitors said. They admired the image half hidden behind a scrub brush at the edge of the rock yard. She's trying to touch people that aren't believers to say, I'm here, I'm real. What do you think? I have the chills right now, someone said. It's amazing what people are drawn to. A ghostly shadow on a rock wall. Turns out that Freddie Montero decided that the pattern was really dried salt residue from a long-gone sprinkler that was against the side of the wall. But people were drawn to it. Drawn to it because they wanted to see something. I say, if you want to see truth, if you want to be drawn to truth, to the revelation of God to us, Jesus is saying, I was born for this. I came to earth for this, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Big question, isn't it? Do I hear the voice of Jesus? Do I follow the voice of Jesus? I have come to declare truth, to make it known, the final prophet of God to us that will take away all confusion and all cynicism. I am the fullness of truth, Jesus said. I hope that you will give yourself to know Him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Have you beheld His glory? Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. It is comforting to know that God has spoken. There's some trepidation if you know He's spoken, but you're not listening. And I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus was born for this. He was born to declare truth. I beg you not to respond as Pilate. Shrug your shoulders. Walk away and say, what's truth? The fullness of truth has come. If you can't yet hear his voice, start knocking. Start seeking. He wants to make himself known to you. I pray today, our Father, that our hearts will be opened up to you to receive the fullness of Christ, his truth, to walk in the witness of his life and his truth, to know the fullness of Christ, whose word to know is to know life eternal. To be anchored in truth is to be set free. To be comforted in knowing that God has spoken and I have heard. I pray that there'll be not a single person who leaves this room today without asking, without pleading, to hear your voice and to respond, yes, Lord, I hear, I follow. I obey what your word has said. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to be the truth of God to us. We embrace you as truth, not our truth. Truth. And so we follow you. Lord, may the grace of God be on us. Push back the cynical corners of our mind. Push back what is confused and bring us the light of the revelation of Jesus Christ, our truth. May we pray in his name together. Amen.